Good morning, everyone. I have a special guest in the studio this morning. His name is Mr. James Sweeney. Now, I would like for you to tell the people in the audience something about yourself.
Well, first and foremost, it's a pleasure to be on your show. And I could say several things. By way of background, I guess I graduated from UC Riverside. I had three majors: political science, sociology, and black studies. Went to law school. Have been a member of the Police Review Commission. Was appointed by one of the mayors of Berkeley. I have served three different governors. I've sat on COMEO, Council on Mentally Ill Offenders. Initially was appointed by Gray Davis. Subsequently was retained by Arnold Schwarzenegger and was retained by Governor Jerry Brown Jr. So I've been doing things for a while.
Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going on here, and especially in my city of Oakland. The Oakland officials are right now being preparing for a riot in Oakland because we do things like that sometimes. And what do you think about the police shootings of black men? And just recently, the man was down on the ground, and they killed him. And now it appears that we have some retaliation going on. People are going on around shooting police officers. What do you think of that?
Well, first of all, I abhor and do not like the violence, period. I think all lives matter, but I believe the reason that the slogan Black Lives Matter is even out there is because our lives have been so cheaply wounded and killed under circumstances that basically call for asking the question, where is justice? And why is it seemingly just us? And so it's whether your name is Gardner or whether your name is Trayvon, it just seems that all across the country we are facing a crisis. And I think it's a crisis of neglect and of violence. And I do believe that because we can record this now. In the old days, people would talk about these horrific events, and people would simply say, I don't believe it. But now they are recorded. The technology is telling us that we have, if I can use one of your lines, we have a problem here.
We do. We have a problem.
And so what do I think about it relative to your city, Oakland, and my city next to Oakland, Berkeley, right contiguous to Berkeley? I really do believe that we have work to do, but we have to fundamentally respect our folk, because if we respect our folk and know our folk, we cut down on incidents. And I am so afraid that the level of violence has something to do with the quality of the weapons. And I understand our Second Amendment rights, to bear arms, but I am so distressed by, do those arms have to be an AK-47? Do they have to be Glocks? Do they have to be? And why is it so easy to get it? You can get them in the streets quicker than you can get a prescription at a drugstore. And so,
what? Or buy them legally.
In the streets and in the suites. And it seems to me that when we talk about this violence that occurs, people don't think it has anything to do with the weaponry. And it can't happen if you don't have the weapons. And so I am distressed. And I think that we all should be distressed. I hope that there's not a riot. I hope that we can use our values and our concerns and our leaders to try to play a critical role. But the critical role they have to play also is accountability. There has to be accountability. Anybody that carries a gun that can take your life, they need to be properly trained, whether they're EMTs, whether it's with the peace officers training and standards through post, whether it's through additional work. They need to understand cultural competency. We live in a diverse world, so you need to understand a little bit about the different cultures, African Americans. You need to understand something about Latinos. You need to be able to understand something about those that are not necessarily English speaking. You need to know a little bit about different religions. It's going to call for us to have an understanding of our very diverse populations and that we have to respect all of them. We can't just be victims. And I think that is one of the things that we're seeing some pushback. I don't want to see any police. I don't want to see 5 police persons killed, murdered. But I don't want to see that same number of citizens murdered either, sure, in the name of peace. And I think that you have something very, very complicated happening here. And I believe that my experience tells me that we have got to become more knowledgeable about our diverse cultures and our ability to interact. And you shouldn't be able to be interacting out on the streets if you have no knowledge of the people that you're working with.
I agree with that. Now, I know for some years you worked with the people that were considered dual diagnosed.
Yes, yes.
And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because for years I worked with individuals, they were probably dual diagnosed and never gotten any services for it when I worked for the Social Services Department. And what I would like for you to let us know, the people that you worked with that were dual diagnosed, did they also have reading and writing and math disabilities? Or
some did. Some had those. We refer to them as co-occurring disorders.
Okay.
Meaning that they happened at the same time. Somebody might have an alcohol problem. That problem might be compounded by a drug problem. It could be crack, compounded by a diagnosis. They could be schizophrenic. They could be paranoid. And so you work with people that have various kinds of diagnoses and triggers. And we do have an overabundance of people with these co-occurring disorders, some of them analyzed and documented, and some of them not. And that brings up who is eligible to carry a gun. And then so many of them proliferating illegally, are you dealing with that element But there are also some people who have no diagnosis at all, and they just go off or are triggered. And so we have a very complicated and diverse society that we need to have training so we know how to direct people to those services that you talk about that in fact are deficient.
One of the problems that I'm having in my mind, okay, I fail to conceive that many of these people that go off start killing up a lot of people. I fail to conceive that there was nobody that didn't recognize that this person had a problem. And it's usually those that's closest to you that don't see it, but look like somebody out there in the community should have known that this person was crazy.
Well, regardless of the label, I think that the behavior is what you're focusing on, the conduct. And I believe that there are so many people who are out in the society who need these sets of services and don't get them. And many instances, you were right, people close to them may know they have problems and know they have issues and may even know what some of their triggers are and some ways to treat those folks. But it's not just them. There are people who are undiagnosed who go off and commit these horrendous acts. Some of them are planned. Some of them are staged. Some folks believe that they're striking at America for whatever a variety of reasons. Some people believe that they're seeking justice, just like they killed these people in the nightclub, a gay nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we categorize people to dismiss them, and then that makes people feel that they're justified for engaging in these horrendous acts, and they are absolutely not justified. So yes, the services, some people admit they need the services and go and get them, and some people don't admit it. Some people feel embarrassed. And so the services that they could get and that they should get, they don't get because they don't want another label on them and another form where people can say, I can't get a job.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that was one of the problems that we had in Alameda County. The state came in and told all of us workers to go through each and every one of our cases. And some of us had as many as 300 cases. And
well, that's ridiculous right there.
Oh,
overburdened caseload
for the workers.
How do you keep up with that number of
very
people?
Difficult.
Somebody will fall through the cracks. Somebody won't get properly served or even timely served.
That's right. Well, that was probably the issue before the state came down and told us to look at each case. And if we see any indication that this person may have some type of mental problem, disability, or something is happening in the home, there are a number of examples that you have in your caseload from the papers and forms that they fill out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and by you are working with them to fill out the forms, you would be able to know then that they didn't understand a lot of this stuff because it was the worker's responsibility to make it clear to them what they're signing before they receive any of the services like the money, the food stamps, and all of that stuff.
Well, do they correlate or tie any of this into who's qualified to have a weapon?
Well,
who does it when you go into that and you see the diagnosis and you provide the services, who's saying certain people should and should not have a weapon, or is the constitutional right override?
We don't discuss weaponry with them, but you could kind of feel that they are from the streets and you know they possibly have a weapon. And yes, they may go ballistic and come in and shoot up everybody in the welfare department. We were not given any authority to discuss anything about weaponry, but we are able to look at the case and find out that there's something wrong, and we can make a referral for them to get help. Now, it's up to the individual. It was not forced upon them to get help in order for them to receive the cash money, the food stamps, and all of that, which I disagreed with long time ago. But they're not forced to do any of these things, and so some people just don't bother to let social services know that they have problems. And see, what happens is the laws changed. See, now if you end up going to jail and have a record, whether a weapon or drugs were involved, you're not going to be eligible for the services. And that's a problem in itself.
Well, does that mean that the people who most need the services don't get the services because they engage in an egregious act, or they engage in conduct against
law? Break the law, you break the law, especially when it comes to guns and drugs. It's highly possible you will be cut off if you're receiving services, and when you apply for the services, you will not get them because they're taking fingerprints, doing background checks, and everything. Okay? Now, they don't force them when it's clear that this person coming to the office sloppy drunk or must be on something. They don't force them to go get the services. And that's one of the things that I disagreed with many years ago. If it's clear that they have a problem, it must be mandatory, as far as I'm concerned, in order for you to receive the services. I don't think it's mandatory now. What it is if you get in some trouble, you just don't get any services. And so now we have a lot of homeless people out there who didn't pay attention to when these laws were going to change and that you will not be getting any money. So they're homeless. We have a lot of people that...
So there's more anxiety, there's more stress in the streets.
Right.
The police, as a point of contact, have to have, if they're effective, they have to have a link up, I would think, with a set of people who have psychological services to be able to make an assessment. I mean, that's what you hold someone on, what is known as a 5150,
right,
or a 5250.
Yeah, to get them assessed.
To get them assessed.
Well, I know they used to do those kinds of things. I'm not certain if funds have been allocated at the level that it should be for them to receive those services.
Well, I know that homelessness drives this crisis. I do know that there are people that have a multitude of problems. And there are people who are, many of whom are veterans, who have had training basically like this person in Dallas, Texas, had been in the military, had military training, used military tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know if, you know, but then you have others who shooting up a school when and a person killed his own mother, then goes to the school and shoots up all the people in the elementary school. And so, I mean, I certainly understand for the reason that Congress would call for a ban on certain kinds of weapons,
mm-hmm,
without saying you can't carry all weapons, but there needs to be some safeguards to live in a civilized world. There needs to be some safeguards. But when Obama calls for it, sometimes he's being said, well, you're not really addressing the problem. The problem is not the gun. The problem is the individual.
That's the truth, too, though.
Well, I'm just saying that it just seems that they ought to be able to work a solution out instead of having gridlock. We need these laws if they're going to help to protect the citizens at large.
That's true. But see, I understand the police side as well because they are outgunned.
Mm-hmm.
They got these little pop guns going on around here, and these kids was carrying spray guns. They just spraying bullets everywhere, killing up people. And those guns are not legal for them to have. They didn't buy them in a regular store. If they did, they didn't keep the transaction where it's going to be known. But those type weapons are easy to get right off the streets.
Easier than a prescription.
You know, and something has to be done about this. I feel for the police officers because I wouldn't be a police officer. Because if I said, stop, don't move, put your hands on your head or wherever, whatever I said, and if you move, I'm shooting. I already know that. Because I will do it now, and I'm not a police officer. You come in messing with me, I'm going to shoot you. You know? So I wouldn't be a police officer for nothing right now. Nothing. And
we need police officers. Well, and that's my next question.
How do we support
our police officers? And when I say that, I don't mean uncritically.
I mean,
you got to have standards.
Right.
You got to have training. You got to be cross-cultural.
Right.
You got to understand the diversity of the people that you're interacting with. So, I mean, there are boundaries. There got to be, there also is a burnout factor, even among the police officers who are overworked and have to respond instantaneously to scenarios where life and death decisions are made. And so the question becomes, how do you support the men in blue while making sure that black lives and all other lives are retained?
Well, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing here, but I do know I don't like the idea of having police officers that don't live in the community. And when they were hiring all those police officers, I thought they were going to have a lot of them that lived in Oakland. And it appears that they're making us think that we don't have any qualified individuals that live in Oakland to be police officers, or the qualified people don't want to be a police officer. So they have to go and get police officers from other places, even other states. Now, what they used to do back in the 50s, they wouldn't get some down south, some police officer, and bring them down here, and you should know that that's going to be some issues. But see, I don't know where they're getting these police officers from now, and I don't think that they're receiving the proper training, as you brought up, especially cross-cultural training. And some of them, I believe, already had the mentality of a killer when they hired them.
Oh.
Okay? And we challenged this some years back, saying that the testing that they did for police officers, the psychological testing that they did, would let them know if they had a person that could possibly go around killing people. And they've denied that, but I don't know, because we end up with some cold-blooded killers as police officers, cold-blooded. And we've just seen an example of that just the other day. It doesn't make sense for you to shoot somebody that's already down on the ground. And that has happened a number of times. And when I'm in talking in my ministry about it, I tell people that these individuals are under the influence of unclean spirits, one or more. The more unclean spirits that they're being influenced by, the more dangerous that they are. They don't recognize that that's what's happening to them. They just have this anxiousness to kill.
Heavy. Yeah. Heavy. So talk about these unclean spirits. How does that manifest itself?
Well, we have two bodies, a flesh body mm-hmm. and a spirit body. Mm-hmm. Clean and unclean spirits can communicate with our spirit. And they do that through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. So you have to guard your thoughts because for certain unclean spirits, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, unclean spirits will have you do wrong, including killing. And if you don't guard those thoughts and correct those thoughts as soon as you have them, you're going to act on those thoughts. And we have a lot of people acting on thoughts that are being under the influence of unclean spirits. You're under influence. And they don't recognize it. Yeah, well, the churches, see, I'm kind of down on the churches because they're not, they may be trying now, but they should have done more a long time ago. We got over 500 churches here in Oakland. And we're one of the most dangerous cities in the world. That should not be. So the size of Oakland, we're not a large city like a lot of the other cities. Mm-hmm. We have less than 500,000 people here. Approximately 500,000 people. That's not very many people. And we are doing the same things that people in the cities that have over 1 million people. We're even more dangerous than some of them. That should not be, especially with all these churches here. I'm finding that people are going to church every Sunday, praising and worshiping, you know, singing and dancing. But as soon as they walk out of the church, they're back out in the world, and they start doing those worldly things. That unclean spirit might not have walked in that church with you, but it was waiting for you outside. And we get caught up in it. We forgot that we just left church and we're not supposed to be doing a lot of the things we're doing. Unclean spirits, they're influencing you to do that. And we're going to have to start controlling our own thoughts and our minds, not to do wrong. Two wrongs never make a right. Even though these police officers all over this country have been going around just outright murdering African-American men. That's a wrong, but you cannot retaliate, okay? Because that's a wrong, and it's in the Bible, okay? That's not the way it's supposed to go. But we have a lot of people that are killing people. Who don't know if you outright murdered the person, if you don't repent when you get to the court of divine judgment, you get the death penalty. Because murder carries the death penalty under God's law. And don't think that you're going to be able to fool them. The Lord knows your heart and your mind. He searches your mind, knows your heart. He knows that you had it in your heart to kill or not. So you're going to have to repent. If not, you're going to be tried for murder in the court of divine judgment, and you'll go to hell is basically how we're taught. And see, a lot of people are afraid of my teachings because I'm telling them they're going to go to hell if they keep doing what they're doing. The only people I see that I'll have a problem with is the ones that want to continue to do continue to do the wrong. They don't want to pay attention, and angry because I'm telling them they're going to go to hell if you keep doing it and you don't repent. Those are the thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that unclean spirits give you to deny what you're doing. You're in a state of denial about your own behavior.
And your own thought patterns.
And your own thought patterns. And then you can't connect your behavior to the consequences. Or you don't try to. Satan has you so busy doing wrong, you don't even think about it. And that's the way it goes. But hopefully we don't have a riot here in Oakland.
No, I don't want to see that happen.
But
or
I
any,
do know.
Or any of the surrounding cities.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know. They're going to have a rally here on Sunday, a peace rally. And see,
and where will that be held?
It's going to be held here in Oakland on around 39th, 40th, and Telegraph churches. Is that VB? Well, anyway, one of the churches over there. And there are people that are just getting geared up and they're anxious to not be peaceful because that's what unclean spirits have them do. Be there, start the mess, and if there's any stores anywhere around, they're going to break out all the windows and start looting and carrying on because that's what happens during when we're having what is called a riot.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So Oakland is preparing themselves for a riot. The city, they're going to get you, people, even though you may have the more powerful weapons. They have more weapons. And riot gear and all kinds of things. And I assure you, if anyone starts anything in Oakland over the next week or so, it's going to be a lot of deaths if a riot comes up. And it's not just going to be the police officers. So myself, I'm not going to any more any more rallies, because a riot can come out of it. I'm not going to participate in any of those things. I don't know what to say for us to do to protest what's going on here, because we have to do something. But peace rallies turn out to not be so peaceful at all. So I don't know. I'm going to pray on that one. That's the only thing I can say. I'm going to pray on that nothing comes about with what's all going on. And see, I'm picturing that because we have people in various different states that are very angry about what's going on, they're like walking time bombs. Any little thing will
set them off,
you know. So I just have to pray on that one.
You know, as even in our churches, you know, when we have the gentleman that went into the church and killed 9 people.
That's right. We don't care nothing about no church. Go into the church, kill 9 people, the minister and everybody in there. Because unclean spirits will have you do those kinds of things. Satan don't care nothing about no church. He'll influence a flesh body in a minute if you let him through thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And if you don't clean that up in your mind, you're going to do exactly what you're thinking. And a lot of times those thoughts are not very healthy.
Not healthy, not clean.
Not clean.
And they don't bode well for our society.
No, they don't.
And you know, that is, I think, one of the issues is respect for our institutions. You know, I mean, church is supposed to be a very respectful place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a place where we're supposed to be able to get some spiritual nourishment so that the thoughts you're talking about don't have to be the thoughts of wrongdoing and,
right.
And evil and spiritual annihilation. So we certainly need to do what we can to have control of our thoughts.
That's right.
Control of our love of our fellow human beings.
Right.
So that that we wouldn't think of doing something that would be so bad. And so.
Well, I'm kind of proud of the city council because we have a new motto here in Oakland. It's love life. Because we're just killing people. You're supposed to love life. And
when was that motto adopted?
Last month before. Do you believe that there were a couple of city council people that didn't want that?
Well, reasonable minds may differ.
Yeah, well, see, they weren't enough. Two of them weren't enough to let that it pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, love life. You know, I had thought about going to the city council, and you know, they have the tree because that represents the oak trees.
Tree of life.
Yeah, and that should be the tree of life.
Right.
You know, so hopefully we'll get some nurturing and curing around here because we have a lot of sick people in Oakland. Matter of fact, this country breeds sickness. We got sick people all over the place.
Well, I know that the oak was the symbol of the tree. I know we used to say that a tree without roots is dead, and I think that same thing applies to people. You know, you have to be rooted in something, a set of values, a belief that's positive.
Right.
And nourish those things so that we have something that we can pass on. You know, I was looking at my grandkids as they were reading and being exposed to art and just wanting to make sure that people have a chance to succeed.
Right.
You don't want the cards to already be dealt, you know, so that you can't win. You want to be able to win. You want to be able to do good and be good. And you know, we are in a very rough society. You know, when I saw that 4-year-old kid say to his mom after watching the watching his father get shot for what appeared to be no reason. I don't purport to have all the facts, but it didn't appear to be from what we were able to discern. It didn't appear to be right. It
even if there was a reason, a 4-year-old child is not going to get that.
That's true.
You just killed my daddy. Yeah. That's what the child is going to. Child should not even be exposed to anything like that. But that's what's happening in this country. You know, all over this country, we are having major problems. And the cold part about it, we have elected officials that are so corrupt that it makes matters even worse. People don't want to even go out and vote or register to vote, especially in the African-American community, because they feel that their vote is not worth anything. And that's not true.
It is certainly not true.
It's not true. And you're going to have to get out there and learn for yourself. Don't listen to other people, because, see, other people will keep other people from people that would possibly register to vote, they, because of the negativity that they are around, they don't bother. And right now, the election is very crucial. And I'll put it this way. We let Trump get in here, a lot's going to change in the African-American community. Now, Oakland is already going through this regentrification, they want to call it. And it's very difficult for you to live here now. I said this over 15 years ago. If you don't have a job, you're going to be pushed out of Oakland. And that's what's happening right now. And people are very angry about it. But a lot of the people that are angry are those that didn't pay attention. They were in denial about the changes that were going to take place. And then once it hits them that change is there, they go through the various change cycle stages, all the way to anger, depression, and then the next thing you know, these people are violent because they're desperate. And so they'll kill anybody.
And so basically you're saying desperate people do desperate things.
Do desperate things.
Yeah, and it doesn't help when...
We have AJ on the line. AJ. JJ.
AJ.
No, it's JJ. JJ?
Yes.
Okay, do you have something to report?
Yes, I do. Got a couple good little tidbits for you today. I want to say good morning to everyone out there. And let's just go ahead and get started. Well, I'm sure that you are very familiar with the rapper by the name of Curtis Jackson. Now, he's known as 50 Cent. Yes. Well, check this out. Now, 50 Cent, whose name, as I said, is Curtis Jackson, was hauled into court several days ago in order to answer to the judge why he feels that he is too broke to fight the allegations that he owes $29 million to his ex-wife and others. Now, what is causing the alarm is apparently Mr. Jackson has been taking photos with lots and lots and lots of money, gold bars, cash, and the judge wants to know if you're so broke, how is it that you're taking pictures with these with this money?
Now, and gold bars.
No, I'm sorry?
Gold bars. He had gold bars, right?
Oh, yeah. He took several pictures with just regular dollar bills, cash. He's taken pictures with him with gold bars. And like I said, the judge is kind of furious about it, and he wants an explanation as to why
I'm curious about it, too. Why he ain't paying his bill?
Well, you know, this isn't the first time that 50 has been in a little bit of a pickle dealing with his finances. Now, several years back, 50 Cent was actually shot
right
in the face. Yes, shot in the face, which explains why he looks like he does. However, shot him in the face, was shot in the face, and he neglected to pay the plastic surgeon that performed the surgery on his face. So he has owed this surgeon a unsubstantiated amount of money. However, the money is made up to comprise this $29 million that he owes to, like I said, his ex-wife and all the other people that he has duped. Okay. So, moving right along. Let's see. Okay, this is a piece of hot one right here. Now, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the Grammy winner, Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars, yeah.
Well, Bruno Mars is accused of stealing his number one single, Uptown Funk. Now, he is said to have stolen these lyrics from a group back in 1979. That lets you know, because I remember the group. Just dated myself. The name of the group is Secrets. Remember that song, Cheryl, We're Gonna Funk You Right On Up. We're gonna funk you right on up. That was originally recorded by Sequin, which is a girl group back during 1979. Well, Bruno Mars is said to have stolen the lyrics from that I'll Funk You Right Up, and made his song called Uptown Funk. Now, I have heard both versions. I've heard Bruno Mars' version, and I've also heard Sequence's version. And I must personally say that they are very close. However, it's sometimes it's really hard to be able to create without taking on the other energies, that someone else may have written or produced already. And it's very hard to stay sometimes fresh and stay, without actually subconsciously, stealing somebody's
The problem is, I don't think people really care that you use their stuff. You didn't accredit them for it. You're making it appear that it's all of your stuff and your writings and stuff. It's plagiarism. You can't take other people's words and get rich off of them and don't give them credit for it.
I find it really funny that this group Sequence has came out of the woodwork, and that song has already won a Grammy, and now all of a sudden the song is under suspicion because they are claiming that they recorded that song back in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So gotta take a little bit more thought, because the young ladies have not decided formally that they're going to, you know, go after Bruno. However, it is on the table.
Okay, do you have anything else? We're getting close to closing. You have any other tidbits you want to give?
No, that was it for today.
Okay, close out.
All right, then. Okay, you guys, remember, if the stars have something to say, you got to get it from who? Me, JJ. Oh,
JJ.
And also, yes. Me, JJ. All right, I will talk to you same time next week.
Okay.
All right,
then.
Calling. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're getting close to closing, but I wanted to hear what your opinion was on some of the things that she was talking about.
Well, I don't know what 50 Cent is doing, really. Brother Jackson has been able to $29 million.
That's a lot of money.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to say.
And he didn't pay his plastic surgeon.
I don't know. I hope that I hope he gets some interest off of the 50 cents. And so maybe that's what it's all about. He's getting some interest off of 50 cents. I don't know.
We're having all kinds of problems in this country, even with our entertainers. And see, we're losing them, you know, for legal drugs, combination with legal drugs and illegal drugs. They're killing them. The doctors are doing it wrong. You're not supposed to give them drugs when you know they're taking some other stuff. And we're having people, and it looks like Prince is the latest one.
Yeah, and he was so sensationally talented. Doves could cry. I mean, he's just immensely creative. I don't know how he was able to do it in that Minnesota ice back there, but
you had to dance around.
but I mean, he was on it.
He was.
You know.
And we're going to miss him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I fear for a lot of our entertainers because once they're out in that life, there's drugs all over the place. And somehow they get into that lifestyle and get caught up into it. I mean, it's really sad. But anyway, I'm going to be closing here in the next few minutes. I want to have you back. I'm going to have you be a call-on guest.
Okay.
And once I get you set up for that and you have your phone. And we're going to continue talking about what's going on in this country with African-American people. See, I'm concentrating on my people because I want us to look at what we are doing. Our behavior and the consequences of our behavior and be prepared for those consequences. And I'm, you know, rioting and all of that doesn't solve a problem. You're gonna have to get...
it exacerbates a problem.
Right.
You take away. But you know, we've got to learn so many things, so that our thoughts are clean thoughts, so that we are not possessed by those spirits that you talked about, whether it's your flesh. It said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things. I am glad that you're bringing up issues that are pertinent to our evolution, to having peace, to making our institutions work, so that we don't have to talk about such horrific things as violence, which seems to be all around us, whether we live in the streets or the suites.
Right.
You know,
it's all over the place.
So it seems to be
and
all
see,
over.
We're going to have to unite with our police officers, and we haven't gotten anywhere near that. 30 people could see somebody get shot up but didn't see nothing. And the police keep telling you, we can't solve these crimes if you don't help. They can't be in all places at the same time. And we're going to have to learn how to accept the fact that we're going to have to work with the police because we have some major issues here. People are afraid to say anything. But see, what they're not keeping in mind is God's laws come in two forms, prohibitions and positive commands. The positive commands that are in the Bible that tell you you're not supposed to allow your neighbor, your brethren, to go around breaking laws. You're supposed to do something, not just turn your head away from it. I don't know what to tell you to do, but the best thing to do is to disassociate yourself with people that are doing wrong things out there. And you won't be one of the individuals that possibly gets shot because somebody's driving by trying to get them. You're going to have to choose your associates better.
We got about a minute.
Okay, it's time for me to close. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do. Until we meet again, I love you.